Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nama Charja Shila Thakur Haridas ki jai, Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadeep Mayapur Tham ki jai, Ganga Devi ki jai, Yumana Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Rani ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Hrinama Sankirtan ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Iskan Dibiti Samsthapaka Charja Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gau Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayamudirayet. Nashta prayesho bhatresho. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Krishne svathamo bhagate. Dhanamajnanaribhisaha. Kalau nashta drishamesha. Ganarko dhunoditaha. Today we'll be speaking from the spotless Purana, Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 23, we're beginning today, first verse, and we'll first begin with the chapter summary. Uske Bad will discuss something about the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, foremost amongst Gaudiya Vaishnava charges, and also today's the Tirobhav Tithi of Srila Gauridas Pandit. So we'll try to say a few words about them as well. There are other programs. I mean, really, one hour is not enough to do justice to any of these topics. But at least we should say a few words. So we'll begin with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 23 is entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna, after inducing the cowherd boys to beg for food, showed mercy to the wives of some brahmanas performing a sacrifice and made the brahmanas themselves feel remorse. That paraphrases Sridhar Swami's Sanskrit shloka, summarizing the chapter, and then continues here. When the cowherd boys became very hungry, they asked Sri Krishna about obtaining food, and he sent them to beg some from a group of brahmanas who were performing a sacrifice nearby. What kind of sacrifice were the Brahmins performing? Huh? Somewhere I recall reading it was ordinary mundane sacrifice for fruit of activity, maybe for sarga loka. But they considered it to be very important. So the Brahmins ignored the boys, thinking Sri Krishna an ordinary human being. It's pretty easy to do that, actually. We do the same thing. The boys returned disappointed, but the Lord sent them off again, advising them to ask the Brahmins' wives for the food. These ladies had heard of Krishna's transcendental qualities and were very much attached to him. Thus, as soon as they learned he was nearby, they went to him in great haste, bringing all four varieties of food. Chaturvidha. In this way, they offered themselves to Sri Krishna. Krishna told the women that while one can develop transcendental love for him by seeing his deity form in the temple, meditating upon him, and chanting his glories, one cannot achieve this result simply by being in his physical presence. He advised them that since they were housewives, their particular duty was to help their husbands perform sacrifices. He therefore instructed them to return to their homes. When the ladies went back home, their Brahmana husbands at once felt remorse, and they lamented, "For anyone inimical to Krishna, his three births, seminal, brahminical, and sacrificial, are all condemned. On the other hand, these women folk who have not undergone the purificatory processes of the brahminical class or performed any austerity or pious rituals have, through devotion for Krishna, easily cut off the bondage of death. Since Lord Krishna's every desire is completely fulfilled, his begging for food was simply an act of mercy toward us, brahmanas. All the fruits of Vedic sacrifice, and indeed, all things on earth are his opulences. Yet out of ignorance, we could not appreciate this fact." Having spoken thus, all the Brahmins offered their obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, hoping to counteract their offense. Nonetheless, out of fear of King Kamsa, they did not go to see the Lord in person. Okay, so we will chant text number one. Responsively, please repeat. Shri Gopa Uchum, Rama Dama Mahabaho, Dushta Krishna Dushta Nibarhana, Ishavai Bhatate Kshunas, Tat Chantim Kartam Arthadaha. Rama Rama Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nibarhana, Esha Vai Badhate Kshunnas, Tat Chantim Kartam Arhataha. Rama Rama Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nibarhana, Ishavai Badhate Kshunnas, Tat Chantim Kartam Arhataha. Shri Gopa Ucho. Ishavai Badhate Kshunnas, Tat Chantim Kartam Arhataha. Ladies, anything? Shri Gopaha Ucha. The cowherd boy said, Rama Rama, O Lord Ram, Lord Rama, Mahabaho, O mighty armed one, Krishna, O Lord Krishna, Dushta, of the wicked, Nibarhana, O destroyer, Esha, this, Vai, indeed, Badhate, is causing distress, Kshut, hunger, Naha, to us, Tat Chantim, its counteraction, Kartum Arhataham, you ought to do. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Please repeat. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Report by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, the cowherd boys jokingly implied that since Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, the Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate, loving friendship they enjoy with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om jnana timarantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utaparikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savathutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarpyascha Kripa Sindhubhe Evacha Paditanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madgavira Bhigopala, Sri Kuryat Kripaya Yadi, Tadevasam Payahabhidva, Krishye Yustat Priyajanaha. I was thinking that while we were reading the chapter summary, here it's described, well, it's mentioned that these cowherd women had no, they had not undergone all the three births that the Brahmins have undergone. We have our birth by our mother and father, biological birth. Then we have our second initiation, which is the Brahminical initiation into the Gayatri Mantra. And then there's a sacrificial initiation that's mentioned here. Ritvik initiation. That's exactly the sense in which Srila Prabhupada used the term. And that's exclusively the sense in which Srila Prabhupada used the term. Acting on his behalf, another priest can perform a particular sacrifice. When we undergo the Dashavidha samskaras, especially initiation samskara, there will be a fire sacrifice. And even now, The spiritual master cannot always be personally present, so he may designate someone to act as a proxy. It's a proxy priest. That is the only meaning that is traditional. Any other meanings that are ascribed to this term, Ritvik, and any other interpretations or speculations or concoctions about it, they don't have any reference to the Vedic literature. They don't have any precedent in Vedic tradition. And therefore, we can easily conclude that they're not intended by Srila Prabhupada himself, because the definition of a bona fide spiritual master is that he acts only in terms of what he has heard himself. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So, just mentioning that. What else? Krishna. When one cannot achieve the result of these transcendental activities of bhakti, such as seeing the deity, meditating upon him, chanting his glories, etc., etc., simply by being in his physical presence. This is something that we've heard many times from Srila Prabhupada. Physical presence is not everything, and this works not only for the deity, but it works also for the spiritual master. Many times we see devotees who are very, apparently very close to the spiritual master, but if they're not close to his vani, and if they're not following that vani, then they're not really close, even though they seem to be. Just like a mosquito can sit on the lap of the king, it doesn't mean he's very intimate or close confidant of the king. He's giving harassment to the king. Something to think about. And pujaris even, samipya mukti, they all have samipya mukti because they're in the personal presence of the Lord. But Prabhupada cautions us also. We can easily commit offenses if we're worshipping the deity, because familiarity breeds contempt. Or the spiritual master also, Srila Prabhupada warns about these two in particular in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and elsewhere as well. It's much easier to commit offenses if we're so close. Dham also, frankly, we've seen people come to the Dham, but they're not spiritually mature and they commit offenses. And sometimes they have to leave also. So these are some things we have to carefully consider. Another aspect to this is that samipya mukti, or just being in the personal proximity of the Lord, that's not necessarily the goal of a Vaishnava. It may be favorable, as we've been discussing it. It's favorable if we have the proper mentality and devotional maturity, then it's favorable. But sometimes it may not be. So this is why devotees sometimes accept the four Vaishnava liberations, any one of them or all of them, and sometimes they don't. It all depends. But one liberation we never accept is Sayujya Mukti, because that's more or less imaginary liberation. Sayujya means you become one with the Lord. That's phantasmagoria. Okay, so in text number 21, Rama, Rama, why twice? Why are they calling to Lord Rama twice? Different acharyas say different things. Jiva Goswami, I think it was, says that their hunger is really intense. they're really hungry. Sanatana Goswami adds that out of respect, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this also, out of respect for Balaram, because they know Krishna is very pleased when you respect Balaram. Balaram ki? Yeah. Because it's coming up, right? We can feel it in the air. Balaram's appearance day. All is a very joyous occasion. Nobody is not happy when Balaram is glorified and when Balaram is worshipped. Everyone likes this. It's a fact. So, Jai Balaram. So that's another reason. All the major acharyas commenting on this verse, even those who are outside the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Viraghava Acharya, Vijayadvaja Tirtha, and certainly Baladevi Dabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all say more or less the same thing. comments are very, I mean, strikingly similar, almost verbatim. They're saying the same things. And they've been nicely summarized by Sridhar Swami's sub-commentator, Vamsidhara. Sridhar Swami's commentary is the most famous and the oldest that we have on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's called Bhavartha Deepika. And Vamsidhara Acharya was Gaudiya Vaishnava living in, I think, Kurukshetra about 200-300 years ago. He's also written a sub-commentary specifically addressing Sridhar Swami's language. And he's, because Sridhar Swami has not actually said anything about verse 1, this Vamsidhara has given his comments, and it nicely summarizes the same thing as stated by everyone else. So I'll just briefly go through that. Dushtan nibarhati haditi tatha barha hinsayam liu pratyaya. Krishna is called Dushta Nibarhana. Nibarhana means to put someone down, to oppress someone, or to crush them. And this is what Krishna does to the wicked persons. There's a beautiful verse written by Bilva Mangal Thakur, and he says, this boy is crawling in the courtyard, and he's squishing gobar, cow dung, underneath his hand, knee, and foot. Which form is this? Balgopal, everywhere you see. So, according to Bilva Mangal Thakur, on at least one occasion, Krishna is squishing cow dung in this way. And it's as if he's instructing all of us here in this world, here's how I crush all your enemies. You can take heart from that. So Dushta Nibarhana is how he addresses Krishna. The first half of this verse is only Krishna's names, or Krishna Balaram's names. Kshut bhoktum iccha. Kshut means to eat. Bhoktum iccha, the desire to eat. Tasya kshutha shantim, or prashamam. Shanti prashama mangale iti yadavaha. He's quoting some authority that says it means shanti, to pacify hunger, means to quell the hunger. That happens usually by eating. Then he quotes from the Taittiriya Samhita, Shruti Mantra. They all quote from the same Shruti Mantra. Kshut khalu vai manushyasya bhratrivyaha. That means the greatest enemy of a man or mankind is hunger. Be kind to people who are hungry. Feed people who are hungry. Srila Prabhupada said, within a 10-mile radius of our temples, no one should go hungry. At least in Mayapur, he said that. Here also, 7,000 people a day. It's very glorious. They get their khichdi prasadam. Little bit is enough. So this is wonderful thing. Many devotees in the beginning days of this pandemic, have you noticed that people are starting to wear masks again here in Vrindavan? You haven't noticed. Not very many. But I've heard there are several cases. It's coming. We'll see. You hear so many things. But in the early days of the lockdown, the devotees in many places were feeding people. Always very good thing to do that. To be kind and general it's auspicious, and in fact it's good for your health, according to the Ashtanga Hridayam. That's the Ayurvedic text. Being kind to others is very, very beneficial on many levels. To asmakam mahashatrum adhuna kshudrupam chedhantum shaknuthaha tadaiva yuva yor mahabala dushta hantritve sarthake gnyasyete iti narma vyanjitam. This is what they all say. The cowherd boys reveal their familiarity. For us, familiarity breeds contempt. But for the cowherd boys, familiarity breeds love. And they have this intimate relationship with the Lord that they can speak like this. What are they saying? The great enemy now for us has taken the form of hunger. And we'll know how capable you are in the matter of dispensing with the wicked and how much you deserve the title Mahabala, Mahabala. Here it's used, is it Mahabahu? Do you see? Okay, because they're different readings. Another reading that Jeev Goswami suggests is Mahavirya. We'll see what a big hero you are if you can kill this enemy. They're joking, in other words, as the BBT report points out very nicely. So this is Vyanjitam. This is just a hint at the exalted familiarity that these boys have with Krishna and Balaram. So that's about all they have to say. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur summarizes also that the chapter describes how the cowherd boys were disrespected when begging food from the Brahmins, and how Krishna showed mercy to the Brahmins' wives, and how their husbands felt remorse. The cowherd boys said, the Vedas say that hunger is a man's worst enemy. So if you can destroy our hunger now, then you'll be successful in conquering this enemy. That's their logic. So in Goloka Vrindavan, even a cowherd boy can quote from the Shruti mantras, like Taittiriya Samhita. Raise your hand if you can quote anything from Taittiriya Samhita. Raise your hand. Anybody? We don't know. Even the most qualified persons in today's world have never even heard of Taittiriya Samhita, practically speaking. So-called qualified persons. Not only that, but gopis also, not even gopis, they're little friends, the manjaris. They know so much that they can write a book such as Laghu Bhagavatamritam. Laghu Bhagavatamritam. What is Laghu Bhagavatamritam? Raise your hand if you know what Laghu Bhagavatamritam is. Sanatana Goswami wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, all about Krishna's mainly devotees. Bhagavatamrita means the nectar of the devotees. And Rupa Goswami saw fit to write a sequel to that, which he titled Laghu Bhagavatamrita, the big Bhagavatamrita and the little Bhagavatamrita. Because in the little Bhagavatamrita, he talks about the reason there are different kinds of devotees, as mentioned in Sanatana Goswami's work. What is the reason that there are different forms of Krishna also? And Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in different ways accordingly. Since we're talking about Rupa Goswami, they had a younger brother. What was his name? Sri Vallabha, or also called Anupam. He left this world. I mean, they had just heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he immediately left the world. Very, very short, within a year after that. So he never got to see any of these things. He was a worshiper of Ramchandra. And Srila Prabhupada says he went back to Ayodhya Loka. Different kinds of forms of the Lord. So these are also discussed by Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamritam. And also he mentions the different classes of devotees in brief at the end of that work. Very important philosophical work. Highly academic, you can say, scholarly. And this is just a little girl from the spiritual world who could write these things. Rupa Goswami, according to the Gauraganodesh Deepika, was the incarnation of whom? Rupa Manjari. In Hindustani Shastriya Sangeet, there's a raga called Rupa Manjari Malhar. It's got to be some connection here. I can't imagine how it would be otherwise. There has to be some connection. Anyway, Rupa Manjari, this is Rupa Goswami, since we're glorifying him today. We can continue. Let's say some glorification of Rupa Goswami. We've already mentioned Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're always hankering it with the expectation that when will he look kindly upon me? And when will I get just a little bit of his blessings? Because he was such a great personality, he was able to understand the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the spot, he could compose Sanskrit verses to express that so nicely that even we can understand it. We can't do any of these things. So when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, therefore he's called Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Under his lotus feet. What goes beneath the lotus feet? What is it that's underneath the lotus feet? Dust. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami, at the very last verse of his Danakeli Chintamani, he also writes, Adadanastranam tantairidam yache punaha punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Pojara Joham Syam Bhave Bhave, means taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I repeatedly beg that I may become a particle of dust at Srila Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, birth after birth. Underneath his lotus feet is the dust, and that's what we should aspire to, according to this verse. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 10, text 84. Anupama Vallabha Sri Rup Sanatan, 18 Shakha Briksher Pashchima Sarvotam. The 43rd and 44th and 45th branches of the Chaitanya tree were Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupama. They were the best of all. We know this already. And Prabhupada writes in his purport, we're running out of time, so I can't read the whole thing, but it's very interesting. I'm going to give you this reference again. You should definitely invest 5 minutes out of today, your busy schedules, and see Adi Lila, chapter 10, text 84. Very beautiful purport given by Srila Prabhupada. He gives us much of the biographical information about Rupa Goswami. So they had... They were born of Carnatic Brahmins, Bharadvaj Gotra, and their forefathers had settled in West Bengal, particularly Bangladesh, and then they came to near Malda, Ramakeli, in their youth. They were very promising, and they attracted attention wherever they went, and therefore they attracted the attention of Nawab Hussain Shah. He was looking for people just like them to help him expand his material affairs. And unfortunately, he more or less forced them into government service. Politicians do this. They make you an offer that you can't refuse, so to speak. So this is what he did to these two. And as a result, they were ostracized, although they had very, very high birth, very just... tremendous respect. They were wealthy also. Learning goes without saying, we've been discussing. But he forced them into government service. Somehow or other, Rupa Goswami was able to retire along with Anupam, and they went to Vrindavan to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami took a little bit longer. You can read about that. But they met with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First at Ramakeli, and then they met him again at Prayag. And at least one more occasion, Rupa Goswami was visiting Puri. But basically, after going to Vrindavan, and after receiving instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami received those instructions at Prayag, Dashashvamedha Ghat. He spent the rest of his life in Vrindavan, here, writing so many books. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that he quotes or paraphrases Bhakti Ratnakar, saying that Srila Rupa Goswami wrote 16 major works that are very notable, because some of them are debated and some of them are categorized in different ways as well. Just like Upadeshamritam, some people say that Upadeshamritam is a part of the Stavamala, but we know it generally as an independent work. So, Hansa Dutta, Uddhava Sandesha, these are both Dutta Kavyas. Dutta Kavya means in the form of a messenger's statement to someone who's pining away in the absence of their loved one. This is called Dutta Kavya. And He wrote two of them. This is before he even met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can understand the level of his Krishna consciousness. They were worshipping Krishna already. They were associating with devotees in Bengal. They were maintaining all of their personal social customs and rituals of the Carnatic Brahmin caste that they belonged to. Yet they considered themselves fallen, even though they weren't really fallen. They were Vaishnavas. So he wrote these two books early on. He wrote a Krishna Janma Tithi Vidhi, how we observe Janmashtami. Radha Krishna Garamudesh Deepika, that tells us about all Radha and Krishna's intimate associates in the spiritual world. Stavamala. Stavamala is actually a collection of stotras. How many stotras? Anybody know? Quite a few. Quite a few. In translation, it takes several volumes. 64. At least 64. A lot of stotras. He wrote his famous Dan Keli Kaumudi is another one. Dan pastimes. Dan Lila. He wrote two dramas, Vidagdha Madhava, about the Braj Lila, and Lalita Madhava, about the Dvarka Lila. There are stories about that also. Satyabhama came and particularly told him, you separate these into two different books. His main book that he wrote is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and its sequel, Ujjwala Neelamani. We know Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, famous book. He wrote some grammatical books. He wrote a Mathura Mahima as well, famous, quoting largely from Varaha Purana. Padyavali again, famous. Natak Chandrika, and we've already mentioned Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So he gave up all family connections. He gave up his wealth. He gave up everything, and he came to Vrindavan just to do this service. And he was able to do this because he could understand the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had that ability. So, you know, names and work, the works of a particular person and the dates of that person, they're all a little bit iffy in South Asia. But they say that he departed this world right around 1550 sometime. His most productive period of writing was from 1530 to 1550 or so AD, or Common Era. And this is Rupa Goswami in a nutshell. This is about all we have time to say. But Srila Prabhupada, I can again, Adi Lila chapter 10, text 84. He says it quite nicely. What else? He was born around 1489, and he left this world around 1550 something. So Namo Mahavara Nyaya is another one of his famous verses that we all say all the time. Such insight that he could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. None of this was in the books. They didn't have these books. We know this only because Srila Prabhupada has explained everything. And he himself had centuries of predecessor acharyas who unpacked all this. But in the early 16th century, nobody knew anything. They didn't even know about worshipping Radha Krishna. There was no such precedent. And certainly they didn't understand the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Rupa Goswami saw all this, and he delineated all of this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself chose these two brothers. He said, I came to Ramakeli just to pick you up. He knew about them already. And he was also in his own talent search, you can say. He wanted to find somebody who could fulfill his mission, and he empowered them to do so. So we can't really say much more about Rupa Goswami, just too little time. But there's a nice verse from Bilva Mangala Thakur. Tarkeshu karkashadhyo vayameva tavat sahitya komaladhyo vayameva tavat Tantre nirantaradhyo vayameva tavat Krishne neveshitadhyo vayameva yavat. That means that when our minds are fixed on Krishna, then we can give incisive thought to philosophy. We need to do that sometimes. We can give very sensitive thought to literature, and we give constant thought to our responsibility. This is Rupa Goswami. Nice. He did, of course, Bilba Mangala wrote this before, but in my opinion, this verse nicely sums up the talent of Srila Rupa Goswami. I mean, I'd like to say so much more, but we should say at least something also about Srila Gauridas Pandit, another towering personality in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. He's considered by the Gargana Desh Deepika to be an incarnation of whom? Subal Sakha. Very, very exalted. Really, I mean, you can say in some ways the most exalted of those who are worshipping Krishna and Balaram in Goparasa, Sakhyarasa. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 11, the next chapter, after Chaitanya tree comes Nityananda tree. Texts 26 and 27 say, Gauridasa Pandit Jana Premodanda Bhakti Krishna Prema Dite Nite Dhare Mahashakti. He had great potency in spreading Krishna consciousness. Gauridas Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of God, had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. Do you want this love? He has the greatest potency to give it, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. His Samadhi Mandir is still here in Vrindavan near Tirasamira, right? You can go and beg if you want that, especially Sakhirasa. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they belong to all the rasas. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's not true. We find devotees who are in Sakhirasa, we find devotees in Madhurya Rasa, certainly Madhurya Rasa. That's the main thing. Even Vatsalya Rasa, Dasya Rasa, even worshippers of Ramchandra, we've already mentioned. They're also included amongst Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's close associates. So he was in Sakhya Rasa. He was the younger brother of Suryadas Sarakhela. Who is Suryadas Sarakhela? All these devotees are related. He gave his daughters to Lord Nityananda in marriage. So you can say he was the brother-in-law of Nityananda. He was the eldest son of Gauridas Pandit, was known as Big Balaram, and the youngest was known as Raghunath. He also, his sons, other sons of Raghunath were Mahesh Pandit and Govinda. Ambika Kalna, there's a big temple there constructed by one Zamindar Bardwan. In front of the temple, there's a tamarind tree, and it's said that Gauridas Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met underneath that tree. In fact, some say that there's a copy of Bhagavad Gita in the same temple which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ridden. Some people also say there's an oar from the boat that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came across the river, because Ambikal Kalna is right across from Shantipura. When Mahaprabhu came to visit Gauridas Pandit, somebody had the presence of mind to keep that oar, and it's still in the temple, they say. This is all Janashruti. But Nityanande Shamarpilo Jati Kulapanthi Kshi Chaitanya Nityanande Kori Pranapati. Making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his own family. His father's name was Kangsari Mishra. His mother was Kamala Devi. And he had many brothers, as we've already mentioned, Suryadas Sarakhela. Narasingha Chaitanya is another brother of his. So the temple is there. And he was always feeling the ecstasy of worshipping Garnitai. When it came time for Nimai Pandit to take sannyas, he came to visit Gauridas Pandit. And Gauridas Pandit was so struck and just, he thought, I'll die. You have to stay. You cannot. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they manifested deity forms that they left with him. And they said, okay, so we're here now, we can stay. Still he was ready to die. He didn't accept that. He said, no, you have to stay. So what to do? The Lord became the deities, then the deities became the lords, then the lords became the deities again, then the deities became the lords again, back and forth so many times that nobody could keep track. So he didn't know which one was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which one was the Sevamurti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way he was finally pacified. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. But he used to worship those deities in great love, and he was always cooking so many things for them and pleasing them in various ways. So we're unfortunately out of time, but Gauridas Pandit, incarnation of Subal, great branch of the, major branch of the Chaitanya tree. His main disciple is Hriday Chaitanya. Another great Vaishnava luminary in our line. So Gauridas Pandit, he passed away on this day, entered the eternal pastimes of the Aprakat Lila of Garnitai. And Hriday Chaitanya's disciple is Shyamananda Pandit, another towering figure. So we can see the potency of Tore Mahashakti, Krishnadas Kaviraj has said. We can see that potency. So, Narhari Chakravarti Thakur records all of Gauridas Pandit's life and glories in the seventh wave of his Bhakti Ratnakar. I can just refer you to that, and then we will have to end here simply because we've run out of time. But thank you all very much for listening very patiently. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Gauridas Pandit. All glories to Srila Rupa Goswami. Go Premanande. Any questions or any comments, anyone? Yes. His samadhi is in nearby Dhir Samira. That temple is, there's a temple there. And you can see, I forget, what is the name of that temple? Anyone remember? They're saying like this. Sorry? Just now it escapes me. Okay. All right, so. Yes.